Howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 467, Gear Talk, Fall 2025. Trust you guys are doing well. Yeah, I had a number of great conversations with you folks this past week. Yeah, fall's here, lots going on. Great questions coming in about photographing mammals, especially big game. Now they're getting their beautiful winter coats. Love the conversations. Thank you guys ever so much. This episode of the Moose Podcast is being recorded using Adobe Podcast Beta with their AI Voice Enhance. Yeah, I need enhancing, boy. Now, you can find the podcast with other information on the website in the blog post. You can find it usual places like iTunes and Amazon and YouTube, stuff like that. And you can also find it at Spotify. Spotify, you'll find a transcript. On my website, you'll find a transcript. And I believe iTunes has the transcript as well. Keep in mind that the podcast is here for you. And if there's something that I can answer for you or help you with, or you have a suggestion for the podcast, head to the website, send me that trivia. I will answer you one way or the other. Ignore the message on there. That's just kind of for keeping other people from just bombarding me, because I'm here to help you any way I can. Well, Nikon's been really at it. If you are keeping up, you know, you've got the new Z24-72.8 Mark II. You've got the big firmware drop for the Z6 III. And now this last week, the new ZR. These are pretty cool things that are happening. I'm going to talk about the ZR a little bit in a moment. Lots of questions from you folks about that camera, which is kind of, I find, very intriguing. One of the big general questions, though, I wanted to answer is there more to come? Oh, heck yeah. Do I know anything specific? Nope. Not been briefed, not signed an NDA, nothing. I am out there looking forward to the announcement emails just like the rest of you. But yeah, I don't think current world events and other sillinesses and tragedies are going to keep Nikon from not producing more great stuff to help us share the wonders that we see, if nothing else, to negate all that other stuff that keeps happening. So, yeah, there's more greatness to come. And I think the ZR is only a hint. Had a couple of you reach out to me about my book recommendation that I mentioned last podcast, fifth edition of Perception and Imaging, Photography, A Way of Seeing by Sluer and Zakia. Yeah, one of you said it's a little bit more intense than a college textbook, but then again, he's been out of college for 30 years. And it's like, boy, I can relate to that. I mean, it's going back to quote unquote to school, it can be a challenging. The other, she was like a bit confused by the book, and that is so valid, and I can understand that because it's a deep dive into a lot that goes on between our ears before we ever push that shutter release button. I do appreciate the feedback, and I understand where you're coming from. Like I mentioned, both of them, I encourage them, take a little bit of time. Don't go and binge read it. Read a little section, not even a chapter. Just read one of the little sections. Ponder it for a couple of days and go back and reread it. That's what I've been doing. And more of it sinking in that way. It could be because of the topic, could be the way it's written, or I hate to think it's because I'm getting older, but it could be any of those things. But it's a great book. Want to thank my good friends at BedfordBedfords.com. I know that a couple of my good friends getting ready to go on trips had last minute needs. What they do? They turn to the experts there at Bedford's, who got what they needed in stock, put it in their hands, lickety split, and of course, after they check out, they saw that 5% discount. That's what Bedford's does. I mean, yeah, they have PhotoCon coming up October 30th through November 1 at Oklahoma City. My dear friend Dixie Dixon is the keynote. It's going to be a great presentation. Price for attending is what, $120 for those 3 days, all those classes. I mean, it's just amazing. Then, of course, they have the show special. So you already have their low prices. Then you're going to get their show special. Guess what? You mentioned the old MOOSE. You're going to see even more savings. Yeah, that's the way Bedford's are. They're great. I appreciate their sponsorship and their support. They're a great, great company and store to team up with. You can do the same thing. Bedfords.com. Thanks, guys. All right, so gear fall 25. Got some great questions. I'm going to start off with one that, well, I guess I got it because I mentioned it. Now think about it in my last podcast. Anyway, John emailed. He says, I keep getting this hot card warning when I'm shooting with a Z8. What gives? Is it a problem I should worry about? Have you ever seen it? Thanks, John. Hey, John. Yeah, I have seen it. So the Z8, just to do a little preface, remember, this is a powerhouse camera that has everything in it, bells, whistles, everything, except for GPS, GPS log that the Z9 has. But it's in a smaller body without that big bottom compartment that has that Z9 battery. It's running off that little battery in the grip. So when you're cranking, and it's happened two or three times maybe to me, maybe. I'm going to say, yeah, maybe four times. I can think of another one. Anyway, you're shooting away, and we're talking about shooting 20 frames per second. You're just pounding that shutter. We're not talking about, shots here, shots there. We're talking about almost basically making a video with stills. You'll see in the upper right corner, almost corner, a little small yellow SD card emblem, and it says hot card warning. So, John, when you see that saying yellow, and that's the only thing I've ever seen is that yellow one. What I do is I simply just open up the compartment door for the CF SD card, and usually within 60 seconds, it's cooled off. I had it in the air-to-air just recently, and I open up that compartment, and with all the air rushing around, it went away within about 20 seconds. It went away really quickly. And basically, when you see that hot card warning and it's in yellow, it basically means that if you were to pop that card out, you have the likelihood of burning your fingertips. Now, it can produce a red colored hot card warning. I have personally never seen that. Don't know anybody who has. When it produces that red one, the red one means that it could start damaging the camera. Now, I'm not sure what is required. I would assume that part of it is you're shooting in a very hot kind of situation, as in 100 degrees, 110 degrees, and you're still cranky on it. Now, with the yellow one, taking immediate action of cooling down the card makes common sense. Open the door on that compartment. When it goes red, and I reached out to someone who knows because I've never experienced it, the word is basically shut down the camera, open that door, and just wait. But actually turn off the camera and stop shooting. So if anybody's ever had that red colored hot card warning in your Z8. I would love for you to reach out to me because I'm just curious what you did, what happened, because I can't find any firsthand knowledge of it. But you know, you've got that powerhouse of a camera, and that battery is not like the Z9 battery. So there you go. Great question, John. Thank you. Bill wrote a common question, and I've had a number of people ask me of late, and it's probably because we now have the sun going down earlier. We have more day or nighttime hours, and people are shooting heavenly bodies easily. So Bill wrote, Moose, how do you fire remotely your camera? A couple things. So, Bill, I have been playing with more and more. I haven't put any real results out yet. With the built-in auto capture feature, with the firmware update of the Z6 III, and it included auto capture, that's what got me thinking about it. For those who aren't aware of Nikon's auto capture, first, the biggest thing you have to understand, it is producing a raw file, a NEF. It is not producing a JPEG. It's kind of a, I don't know, urban myth or something. It is not creating a JPEG. It is a raw file. And what auto capture does, back in the day, used to be called auto trap or capture trap. And before that, we would have infrared triggers, infrared remote units. You do a cross beam, and when the subject broke that cross beam, the camera would fire. Well, the geniuses there at Nikon put it into the camera. You don't need anything else other than the camera and turn on auto capture. It works by the motion of the subject. You can use like autofocus, bird detect, which is really cool. So then it's going to do it for you. It's going to expose, focus, and fire the camera. That's one way, Bill, that I remotely fire the camera. Now, with the Z8 and Z9, and they both have the 10-pin socket, with them, I use the WR-11A Nikon remote. And I probably use that, I'm going to say 75% or 80% of the time, I use either Z8 or Z9 when I'm shooting remotely. Because that remote is small, light, works. The one little trick that I will pass along is it comes with a little nylon pouch to hold the two units. First, I always have a spare battery in that pouch. Because if you don't remember, and there's a, when you get out, get the new, CR2032 batteries, I believe it is. Royal 2032 battery. The battery has a little plastic sealant, so it doesn't discharge. I will keep that little plastic, and I keep it in on the battery, even though it's in the actual firing remote, and I just take that out when I want to use it. There are times where I will lose that and the battery will just discharge because it's in this little nylon bag. The button gets pushed, gets held down by other stuff in my camera bag, and it just discharges. So I always carry a little spare battery. So like I said, it shoots with the 10 pin, and that's the WR-11 remote system. Now for the Z6 III, first of all, I went looking for stuff from the Nikon line, and the main thing was the same WR unit was backordered. It's been for a while. So then I was told about and recommended the Pixel TW283 wireless timer remote control. And I tell you, it works pretty darn well, and that's for just the Z6 III. And it's physically probably four times bigger than the Nikon unit, but it remotely fires the camera, right? Which is what we're looking for. It has a kind of a biggish unit that kind of fits in the hot shoe. Then you got a bigger unit that goes with you to fire it. One thing about the Nikon, it's such a small, compact little thing. The Nikon uses, like I said, that one little button battery, and then this guy uses four AAAs, and they seem to discharge pretty readily in it. But Bill, that's how I remotely fire my camera. Oh, I guess I should read my notes. I should add, Bill, I don't use a cable release firing system. It's all wireless for many reasons. The biggest one is, as my dad used to say, he used to call me Twinkle Toes. Yep, I trip on things. So I don't have a cabled release. All right, now I'm going to get to Lisa's question, which is really a summation of a whole lot of questions. What's with the Nikon ZR? I haven't read all the specs, and they kind of go over my head. Can you help? Well, great question, Lisa, and it's kind of many people are asking the same thing. First, the number one question: the ZR is not a still camera. It is a video camera. A lot of people are asking, why doesn't it have an EVF? Well, because if you're shooting video, vast majority of the time you use an external monitor like a Ninja. You're not putting your eye to it. You have it on a gimbal or a float or some sort of rig to deal with that. And then you have all this other, for lack of better terms, paraphernalia that for power zooming and other things that go into the video shooting process. So the ZR is really just this incredible powerhouse little box that's shooting 6K video and using Nikon amazing Z lenses that is small, light, powerful. I mean, it has something that's most still photographers, this is like Greek, 32-bit float audio. What is that? It is just... audio is such an important part of video, and that 32-bit float audio, which is normally in other bigger pieces, is now in this little compact camera. Basically, bottom line, it permits you to do audio recording so much easier and have so much higher quality. The ZR has this 4-inch DCI 93 monitor, what you would call your LCD panel. It shoots a number of different LUTs, which include the Red Code RAW 3DNE, which is probably going to be Greek to most still photographers. And people are going, okay, so, and it's only $2,200? And that's kind of the big thing now. You know, you think about all the price increases and stuff, and still it's $2,200. Yeah, this sucker is amazing. It's just a pound. It's got a 15-stop dynamic range. You know, 6K, 60p. It shoots what you, as we would think of as full frame FX. It's just a monster of a camera in this itty-bitty little package. Now, one of the questions that was repeated resoundingly is, Moose, are you going to get one? I am not in the beginning. Shooting video with the Z8 and Z6 III right now is doing everything that I need. Now, once they're available and they're in either MPS loan or they're in a rental house where I could borrow one and shoot with it for a couple of weeks to get to know it, then I'm going to find out if it's going to solve problems in the video realm, because like I said, it doesn't shoot stills. It only shoots video. That would actually help my photography move forward. So between not knowing and then kind of spending my quarter capital for new gear on the Z24-70 2.8 II, and to Tom, no, I haven't received a sample. I haven't seen it yet. I just got an email that from MPS that they got my priority request and they're working on filling it. So I'm assuming I'm going to have it relatively quickly, like everybody else who has pre-ordered it, but I don't have it yet. Well, there you go. There's your summation of your gear questions for fall 2025. Appreciate you guys reaching out. Appreciate the questions. Take care. Enjoy that fall light, And remember to make every click your story.